take your billfold or your purse and you were to pull it out and you were to dig in it and find a dollar bill and pull it out, on the back of that dollar you would find the statement, "In God we trust." And the statement, "In God we trust," is found on every bill, every coin. And the reason it is placed on every coin and every bill is because it is the motto of America. We do not trust in man. We do not trust in our money. We trust in God. That statement is a summary of all we believe here in America. You know, it's good to have summary statements. It's good to zero in on what we believe so that we don't get lost in the forest and lose sight of those trees. What I want us to do this morning is discuss, how is Christianity summarized? If you had to think for a moment, how could you summarize Christianity? If someone were to say to you, "Summarize Christianity in one or two sentences," how would you summarize Christianity? How would you explain Christianity to someone who had never heard of Christianity? What we find in our text this morning in the Gospel of Mark chapter 12 is Jesus does just that. Jesus summarizes all of Christianity, all of the Old Testament, in two verses. So if you have your Bible, and I hope that you do, turn to the Gospel of Mark chapter 12. And I'm going to read to you from God's Word, Mark chapter 12, and I'll be reading verses 28 through 34. Mark chapter 12, and beginning with verse 28. God's Word says this: "One of the scribes came and heard them arguing, and recognizing that he had answered them well, asked Jesus, 'What commandment is foremost of all?' Jesus answered, 'The foremost is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.' The scribe said to him, 'Right, teacher, you have truly stated that he is one. There is no one else besides him. To love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as himself, is much more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices.' When Jesus saw that he had answered intelligently, he said to him, 'You are not far from the kingdom of God.' After that, no one would venture to ask him any more questions." Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we are really graced and honored to be able to come into your presence. Lord, we are able to come, Lord, not because we are worthy, not because we have done anything to deserve it, but Lord, because of what you have done for us, what you did through Jesus to allow us to be able to come here today. I pray, Lord, that you'll give us understanding. I pray that our ears and our hearts will be open so that we can understand how the Old Testament is summarized, so that we can understand what Christianity is all about. Help us where we've fallen. Help us where we've failed you. I pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. You'll remember as we have gone through the Gospel of Mark, and we're at the section where Jesus has set his eyes towards Jerusalem. He's in Jerusalem now. He is preparing to go towards the cross. And he basically is in the group of a huge mob. A mob of Pharisees and scribes and Sadducees have gathered around Jesus, trying to trip him, trying to trap him, asking him very divisive questions. Their plan is simple. If they can get him to pick a side, no matter how he answers, someone's going to be angry. And so each group comes, asks a question, each group gets completely schooled. But then this particular scribe is different from all the others, because all of the other scribes had selfish motives. They truly wanted to trip and trap Jesus. But notice how it introduces this scribe. This scribe was almost a part of the group, but really just listening. And the text states that he heard that Jesus had answered well. He heard that Jesus was giving some really good answers. And so he came to Jesus not because he was trying to trip him or trap him. He really wanted to know Jesus' answer. He really wanted to know what Jesus' opinion was on this particular subject. So he asked Jesus this question: what commandment is foremost of all? In other words, out of all the commandments in Scripture, which one's the greatest? Now, whenever we think to ourselves, what commandment? I mean, automatically I thought, okay, the Ten Commandments, right? All right, of the Ten Commandments, which is the greatest? But in the Old Testament, what the Pharisees had done is they had taken every law, every rule in the Old Testament and determined that there were 613 commandments in Scripture. And so that they actually enjoyed, you know, we always like to get together and have a good debate. You know, they weren't Baptists back then, but yeah, I think maybe we get that from them, and that we all like it to have a good debate sometimes. Well, this group would get together and they would debate which command they thought was the greatest, and then they would argue for why they thought that command was the greatest. They all had their opinions on which command was the greatest, the foremost of all. And so this man was touched by Jesus. This man recognized, you know, there's something different about this man. He's a man of authority. People appreciate his answers. I'm going to come to Jesus and ask him, what is the foremost command? What's the most important part of the Old Testament? And notice Jesus then gives that response. This is Jesus' response in verse 29. The foremost is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. So if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. Christianity is about loving God. Christianity is about loving God. If you were to have a sentence describing what Christianity is about, it is found in this text. Christianity is about loving God. Now, whenever Jesus made this statement, it wasn't surprising. It wasn't shocking. It comes from the Shema in Deuteronomy. It was a passage that everyone had memorized. But essentially what Jesus is teaching is that Christianity is about love. Now, the Pharisees really need to hear that, because the Pharisees were really good at keeping the laws. I mean, 613 laws, they could keep those. And they felt really good about themselves by their ability to keep those. And so they would come to church, or the temple, knowing that they had kept all those laws, feeling better than all the sinners who failed to keep those laws. But their motive was not love for God. Their motive was praise and love for man. And so I wonder this morning, why are you here today? Why do you do what you do? Why do you live the Christian life that you claim to live if you're a Christian? Is it because of someone else? Is it because you're trying to impress other people? You know, whenever I was younger, I used to always think it was a good thing to be a people pleaser. You know, you hear, I just want to, you know, please people. But if you read through Scripture, there was only one group of people who were people pleasers, and that was the Pharisees, because they cared more about man than they did God. We need to love God. The greatest command is to love the Lord your God. Christianity, in a nutshell, is this: Christianity is about loving God. But then what Jesus does is he breaks that down. We use that term love so loosely. You know, you'll turn to your spouse and say, you know, I love you. Then I'll go by Taco Bell and I'll say, I love you. We use it loosely. It has lost its love. And I used to always say, if Taco Bell was a woman, I'd marry her. And I admit we all have things we love. And so we lose what does love really mean, and what does it mean to love God? And so what this text does is it begins to break down and give descriptions of what love is all about. I want you to notice that you're to love God completely. You are to love God completely. Jesus said this: You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. Now, here in America, we believe that the seat of our emotions is our heart. And so whenever you use that term, I love you with all my heart. Maybe you've said it to your significant other, your children. You say, I love you with all my heart. What's that mean? I mean, does it mean that you love the person with this organ that pumps blood all through the body? You know, the heart's only about the size of a fist. Does it mean, I love you about this much? No, it means I love you completely. I love you completely. I love you with all I am. Every part of me, I love you. To love God is to love Him completely, with all of you. But then what He does is, I love that Scripture does this, He then breaks that down a little bit more. Loving God completely, that's big. So how do we do that? When the rubber meets the road, how do we love God? Well, He shows us in this text. Notice He says that you are to love God emotionally. You can love God emotionally. Look what Jesus said. Love the Lord your God with all your soul. Now this gives us the idea that we're to love God with our emotions. Now, for some reason that's really hard. And sometimes for men, they may struggle, or you may, as a woman, you may struggle as well. But it can be challenging, to be emotional. We sometimes don't like to be emotional. We don't want to show emotions. We want to be guarded. But it's interesting, we'll pick on the men a little bit. Is that okay? Can I pick on the men for a minute? The men will come into church and we don't want to show emotions, right? We don't want to cry. We don't want to, get too sappy. So we're emotionless with our Christianity, with our spiritual life. But then we go to a football game. And then, that you got your team you've been cheering for, and all of a sudden that wide receiver that's your favorite player catches that football, and then you just jump out and jump up, popcorn goes everywhere, and you just, hallelujah! Or however you celebrate, whatever your word is. Why is it, men and women, that we get emotional, we get excited, we get enthusiastic about our hobbies, about our sports, but not our Lord? We're to love God with all of our soul. We are to love God with our entire being, including our emotions. We're to love God emotionally. Don't you notice, not only are you to love God emotionally, but we're to love God mentally. We're to love God mentally. Notice what Jesus said. He said, love the Lord your God with all your mind. To love Him, not just a sappy emotional love, but mentally, with understanding Him. You are to love Him with your mind. I think about whenever Paul went into the temple, it had all the different false gods. And one of the gods, it says that it was to an unknown God. And there were people who worshipped an unknown God. What I love is that we have a God we can know. We have a God who knows us, pursues us, and seeks us out. We can know God. To love God with our mind, it means to think about Him. It means to think about Him. But let me ask you this question. How many of you are in love right now? Are you married, folks? You had better get your hand up. Okay. How many of you say, I'm not in love right now, but I was in love at one point. All right, you married folks better get your hands down on that one. All right, and so when you love someone, when you genuinely, truly love someone, you're gonna think about them. You're gonna be you're gonna be thinking about them all the time. For some reason, I keep thinking about that pickup line that some men use whenever they meet a girl. They'll come up to a girl and they'll say something like this: "Girl, you must be tired because you've been running through my mind all day." When you love someone, when you're thinking about someone, when you desire someone, you're gonna be thinking about them all the time. When you love God, you're gonna be thinking about Him. When you wake up in the morning, you're gonna be thinking about Him. You're gonna want to talk to Him all through the day, morning, afternoon, and night. You're gonna be thinking about your relationship with God. You're to love him with all of your mind. You're to love him mentally. Notice also you're to love him physically. You love him physically. Notice what Jesus said. He said, love the Lord your God with all your strength. With all your strength. This is really talking about when the rubber meets the road, you're to love him with your actions. With your actions. It's so easy to claim that we love God and get weepy-eyed when we discuss God, which you should, and to think about God, which you should. But how is your love being manifested? How are you demonstrating physically? How are you showing that you love him? I think we can learn a lot about love just in the way that humans relate with love to one another. You know, let's say you have a married couple or a dating couple. I heard about a guy who was dating a girl and he was just really trying to demonstrate his love for her. And so this is what he said to her. He said, I would climb the highest mountain. He said, I would swim the deepest ocean too. He said, I would crawl the hottest desert. He said, I'd do anything for you. He said, I would leap the tallest building. I would bear any trial or pain. There's no limit to my love. And she looked at him and said, well, that's great, honey. I just want you to take out the garbage. And he said, honey, you are just taking advantage of me now. Talk is cheap. Talk is cheap. And I fear that a lot of our religious talk is really cheap. We come to church and we talk cheap. We talk the talk. We know how to talk. We know how to convince everyone else that we love God. But Christianity at its core is summarized. Christianity is about loving God. Do you love God? Do you love him? Do you love him with your mind and your heart and your soul? Do you love him completely? Christianity is about loving God. But notice Jesus doesn't stop there. Christianity doesn't stop there. There is a heavenly element of our salvation. There's a heavenly element to Christianity, but there is also an earthly level to Christianity. Notice the next point is this. Christianity is about loving others. Christianity is about loving other people. Look at verse 31. Jesus said the second is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Now, this one was shocking whenever Jesus made this statement. Because the first statement was the Shema. It was something that they quoted all the time. It was something they had written everywhere. So much so that the Pharisees actually had the Shema written and put on a little box and sewed to the sleeve of their outfit. They were constantly reminded of the Shema. That wasn't surprising to love God. But loving others, that was surprising that Jesus said love God and right along with that to love other people. It's actually taken from a verse from Leviticus. And so the real question is this, how do we show God love? How do we show him love? We say we love him, we say we love him emotionally, physically, mentally, we say all that, but how do we and how can we? A holy, awesome God whom we can't touch, how do we show that God love? So here's the thing. You show that God that you cannot touch love by showing love for those whom you can touch. The people that God has put around you are the people that you can reach out and touch. There's a really good book that I recommend to young couples or couples of any age. It is called The Five Love Languages. A great book. If you've never heard of it, I'll tell you a little bit about the thesis of the book. Essentially, the five love languages is this. Each and every person has a different way that they demonstrate love and want to be expressed love. And so I'll give you a few examples, all right? One of the love languages is words of affirmation. And so words of affirmation are things like, you know, I I love you. You know, I care about you. You are beautiful. And so for some people, they're not going to feel loved unless verbally that they're told, I love you. And sometimes men, we kind of get into this rut. I remember my grandpa one time, you know, married, been married for many years, and my grandmother came and said, well, you know, do you love me? You know, I hadn't heard it in years. Do you love me? And this is what he said. He said, woman, I told you I loved you 20 years ago, and if anything changed, I'd tell you. It's not how we need to be, all right? That's an example. Write that down, Colin. Don't do that. Words of affirmation is what some people, in order to truly feel loved, it needs to be expressed through words of affirmation. Another one is quality time. And so some people, even if they have all those words, they just really need that quality time. You know, might be watching TV, might be, you know, going to the mall. It's just spending time with that person. Time is how some people spell love. Another one is physical touch. You know, holding a person's hand, giving a hug, giving a kiss. Some people, it doesn't matter if you tell them you love them. It doesn't matter if you spend time with them. But if you're not giving them a hug or holding their hand, you're just not going to feel loved by them. Another one is gifts. Another one is gifts. Some people, they just like a gift. It doesn't have to be expensive. It's just, you thought of me. You know, here's a $3 teddy bear and some chocolate. I thought of you. Some people need those gifts. Other people don't. Other people, you can buy them gifts. It doesn't mean anything. But then there's one last gift, and that is gifts of service. Gifts of service. And so that would be the practical things. Taking out the garbage. Mowing the yard. A warm meal. Doing the dishes. And so the book really focuses on how sometimes we show love to someone, but that's not how they feel love. And so if your spouse is always, if how they feel love is gifts, it doesn't matter if you tell them how much you love them. It doesn't matter how much time you spend with them. If you're not meeting the gifts, you're just really not going to feel loved. So you coming back to God. How does God feel love? What is God's love language? God's love language is this. Acts of service. Acts of service. He feels love whenever we demonstrate love for other people. 1 John worded it like this. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 through 21. Because if someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. But John is saying this, if you claim to love God, say, God, I love God, I love God, but you don't love his people. According to this scripture, you're a liar. You just don't get Christianity. You've missed it somewhere along the way. I think a lot of us, we're guilty of missing it sometimes. Because let's just be real, let's be honest here for a minute. It's easy to say, God, I love you. He's perfect. Why would we not want to love a perfect, awesome, holy God? But then when it comes to loving people, and that's a different story. Because people aren't perfect. People aren't always loving. People aren't always nice. Sometimes I'm not loving, they're perfect or nice. Sometimes I'm a real jerk. Right? Don't say amen. We know. But when the rubber meets the road, we're not perfect people. But how we demonstrate, how we show God love, is by loving his people. And so when you're doing something for someone else, you're doing it for God. Whenever you're fixing someone a warm meal, you're feeding God. When you're visiting someone, you are visiting God. And when you're praying for someone, you're praying for God. You demonstrate your love to God through consider how you serve the people around you. You are to love God. Christianity first, Christians must love God. Second, Christians must love other people. Then what you notice third, Christianity is about actions and not just words. Christianity is about actions, not just words. One person worded it like this: you believe what you obey. Everything else is just a bunch of religious talk. But that was pretty good. You believe what you obey. Everything else is just a bunch of religious talk. And how many times are we guilty of just a bunch of religious talk, but not actually doing what we claim to believe? So here the scribe at this point, Jesus summarized, love God, love your neighbor. And then the scribe, he summarizes Jesus' teaching. That's where we get to this third point. This is what the scribe said. The scribe said, you know, you've answered well. To love one's neighbor as himself is much more than burnt offerings and sacrifices. Where does this come from? We know where the others, you know, Jesus is quoting Deuteronomy, and then Jesus is quoting Leviticus, and then all of a sudden he throws in something about burnt offerings and sacrifices. What's he talking about here? He's describing a situation in 1 Samuel. In 1 Samuel, God had told the king, you need to go into a certain city. The city is wicked. They're godless. They're immoral. God said you need to wipe out that city, leave nothing behind, or else there'll be a stumbling block. Well, but the king went out, and he did not do that. He left some of the kings alive because he wanted to make an example out of them, torture them a little bit. He left some of the animals alive. Well, then God sent to him the prophet of God. And the prophet of God came to confront this king. And the prophet said, what are you doing? Now, we all need that sometimes. We all need God to send us a prophet that will look us in the eye and say, what are you doing? This is what Saul said. He said, I'm obeying the commandments of the Lord. What do you mean, what am I doing? I'm obeying God. What are you doing? Saul said this, or the prophet said this. What's that sound of mooing I hear? What's the bleating of sheep that I hear in my ear? And the king said, oh, well, these are animals, but we're going to sacrifice these animals to the Lord. The prophet said this, to obey is better than sacrifice. To obey is better than sacrifice. It's easy to offer sacrifices. It's easy to sing songs of praise. Sometimes it's even easy to put some money in the offering plate. But God wants our obedience. Obedience proves that we love God. That is how you spell love to God. Obedience. Because talk is cheap. And how we show God love is through loving other people. Do you love other people? You genuinely, truly love God's people? If not, pray that God will help you. Pray that God will help you to love Him and to love Him so much that you'll be able to love the people around you. I want you to notice how this passage is wrapped up. When Jesus saw that the scribe had answered intelligently, he said to him, you're not far from the kingdom of God. And after that, no one would venture to ask him any more questions. Jesus had recognized that this scribe was close. I mean, this guy had given some really good answers. It's really interesting how Jesus words it. He says, you've answered intellectually. You've answered with your mind. You know all the right answers. And that's how some of you are today. You know all the right answers. You've grown up in church. You grew up in Sunday school. You got those answers. He makes the statement, you're not far from the kingdom. You haven't reached it, but you're not far from it. You say, well, how far was he, Brother Charlie? About 18 inches. He had it in his mind, but he didn't have it in his heart. And the greatest distance is those 18 inches from the heart. to the mind, from the mind to your heart. Do you know this in your heart? You've probably heard it before. You probably have. If you grew up in church, this isn't new to you. And as soon as I read this text, you probably thought, I already know this. I know to love God. I love to know people. I know you know that, but is it in your heart? Do you love God? Do you love Him? Do you love people? Or have somewhere along the way have you just, you barely missed it? Just barely missed it. You missed Christianity. You missed salvation. There's a movie series called The Fast and the Furious. It's a movie about racing that has had many movies after it. It's one of the most popular racing movies that have been out in recent years. And there's one particular scene where you have a young man. He has this brand new sports car with the neon lights and, you know, all the bells and whistles and the speakers in the back. And then he pulls up right next to this older, distinguished gentleman that has this muscle car. And they're getting ready to race. As they race, one has a little bit faster car, but the other one is a little bit better driver. At the very end of the race, the guy that had the muscle car, Vin Diesel, he wins that race. Well, the young guy, he gets out of the car and he comes to Vin Diesel and he looks him in the eye and he said, I almost had you. I almost had you. Vin Diesel looks him in the eye and he said, it doesn't matter if you win by an inch or a mile. Winning is winning. I'll let you know this. It doesn't matter if you miss heaven by an inch or a mile. Missing heaven is missing heaven. And if you miss heaven, you will hit hell squarely. Do you love God? Do you love people? God wants your obedience. He doesn't just want your sacrifices as you come in Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. How do you prove love? Through serving people. Remember whenever Jesus rose and he met Peter? He met Peter on the seashore and he asked Peter this question three times. Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter was, Lord, you know I love you. Lord, you know I love you. Lord, you know I love you. Every time Jesus said, then feed my sheep. Take care of my lambs. Feed my lambs. In other words, Peter, if you truly love me, your love will be demonstrated through your love of other people. I'm going to give you a homework assignment, and then we'll be done. So if you have a pen and paper, I'm not going to actually give you a test on this later, but I do want you to do that. At some point, maybe on the way home, Maybe tonight, maybe tomorrow morning. Get by yourself. By yourself. No distractions. Turn the TV off. If children are a distraction, wait till your children are in bed. You get along with God. And you simply tell God that you love Him. That's it. Tell God that you love Him. Tell God why you love Him. Because I find that many times we pull a Peter. We sing about loving God, and we read about loving God, but many of us have never had a moment where we just spoke to God and said, God, I love you. I love you. And why? And what you'll find is that God will speak to you. God will work in your heart. And then God will demonstrate how He wants you to show His love to other people. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we praise You. And Lord, I thank You for loving me. I thank You for loving each of us. Lord, we love You because You first loved us. Not because of our goodness, not because of our righteousness. Your Word tells us that our righteousness is like filthy rags. That our righteousness is like dung before You, Lord. At our best, it is still not good enough. But Lord, we are not saved by good works. We are saved by grace and mercy, and for that we praise you. But Lord, I pray that you will help us to love you. Help us to demonstrate our love through loving other people. Lord, help us to love our family. Lord, help us to love our brother and sister in Christ. Help us to love our fellow church members. Help us to love our neighbors, our co-workers, Lord. And your word, it even tells us to love our enemies. Lord, help us to do that. Help us to love the people that hurt us, have betrayed us, and persecute us, Lord. Not because they deserve it, but Father, because you deserve it. Lord, help us to be people that love. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you love other people? Do you love Jesus? Tell God, say, God, help me to love you. Help me to love other people, not because they deserve it, but because you deserve it. Maybe you're here today and you recognize that you have never loved God how you should. Maybe you recognize that you have never truly been saved. I would love to tell you about what it means to be a believer. Maybe you've been visiting for a while. You'd like to find out more about how you can join the church. I'd love to tell you how to do that. I invite you to stand. I invite you to come and meet me at the front. You can come and kneel at the altar and pray. Christianity is about loving God, and Christianity is about loving what? Other people. So tonight we are having a 2020 at 4 o'clock, and there is no greater way to show love for anyone than to go out and tell them about Jesus. I'm hoping the adults will come. I'm hoping that the youth will come and participate tonight at 4 o'clock.
No choir practice tonight at 5, and I look forward to seeing all of you at 4 o'clock. Let's join hands and sing our parting chorus.
Come thou fount, come thou king, come thou precious prince of peace, hear your groan, to you we sing. Come thou fount, see.